Ringers.
You're listening to Today, where the time is just coming up to 7. As we can no longer afford the pips, here they are performed this morning by Sir Bruce Forsyth.
To see you nice.
News International have confirmed that Rebecca Brooks is returning to run their UK operations. Rupert Murdoch joins us now.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be able to give that poor innocent lamb a second chance. Everyone knows me and my papers are full of compassion for those who've suffered. Just look at the Sun's demands that we do something about the terrible plight of the refugees.
The same refugees, Katie Hopkins, in your paper a few months ago, said we should use gunboats on.
Yeah, she pretended to hate refugees to sell newspapers. Now we're pretending to like refugees to sell newspapers. It all makes sense. You're not suggesting I'm two-faced.
Oh, no. You have many more than that. So, about Rebecca Brooks.
John. No. She's not Rebecca Brooks anymore. Change the name, erase the crime. From now on, she'll be known as Rebecca on Sunday.
Yes, she was found not guilty. Her defence was that despite being in charge, she didn't see the massive criminality going on all around her. Do you really want somebody totally oblivious running your company?
That's all right. I've given her a second eyes and ears deputy to make sure nothing is missed. I think she and Mr. Magoo are going to make a great team.
We're almost at the end of the Labour leadership election, which seemed to start many hundreds of years ago. Now, with this BBC podcast, you can remember all the excitement and thrills. Who can forget Liz... Oh, God, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Kendall!
Sorry, yes. Kendall Liz.
I believe my free market Blairite policies make me the only logical choice as the next leader of the Tory party.
This is the Labour Party, Liz.
Yeah, whatever. Keep your options open, I say.
Who can forget Yvette Cooper's inspiring message to her supporters?
And I pledge to you I will continue with the sentence until I stop, and there will be other sentences to come before I stop talking.
And Andy Burnham's clear message to party members.
I am committed to ending austerity by agreeing that austerity must continue. And by opposing the Tory cuts, which I support, and by supporting my opposition to them, I show my opposition to not opposing me opposing them. Because heretofore, in concluding, thusly, whip it.
And not forgetting the radical socialist housewife's choice, Jeremy Corbyn.
People ask me why I'm so angry. I'm angry at the way the Tories demonise the poor, how they destroy our public services. But most of all, I'm angry as I think I forgot to set the video to record new tricks.
Yes, relive all the highlights of the Labour leadership election campaign podcast Volume 1, with Volume 2 featuring Chuka Amana and Dan Jarvis following in a year's time when it all goes tits up again.
BBC Radio 4. Coming up later, a look back at the cricketing highlights over the summer. Oh, cricket. Reminds me of my school days on the beaches. Who am I kidding? I went to Eton. All this West Indian stuff is just put on to fool the BBC into giving me the job. I'm not even black. I look like Woody Allen. Except with ginger hair. After a 15-minute drama, forethought and prayer for the day, it's time for the next installment of Radio 4's new, stupidly short program season. It's Desert Island Discs, the one-minute version.
My castaway this week is some scientist you've never heard of. No time for the usual drawn-out biography. She studies, I don't know, chalk or something. Right, disc time. Your obligatory, pretentious choice.
Well, this piece is one I remember from my childhood.
No time for anecdotes.
Rachmaninoff.
That'll do. Play. Stunning. Next, choose something you actually listen to.
Who let the dogs out?
No time to play it. That's all we have time for. Science women, thank you.
Thank you.
That was 1 minute Desert Island Discs. We're making next week's episodes just 20 seconds long. Not because the BBC asked us to, I chose to, because the castaway is Janet Street Porter.
Welcome to Newsnight. Pleased to meet you. Where are you from? I can show you incredible things. More on that story later. But first, with Europe in the grip of a full-blown immigration crisis, Britain has been accused of turning its back on the problem. The Prime Minister joins me now. Now, you have demonised these immigrants.
No, I haven't.
Prime Minister, you call them a swarm.
Yeah, you know, but that wasn't my idea.
Well, whose idea was it?
Oh, that's Wojciech, my speechwriter. Lovely bloke, but doesn't speak a lot of English. I suppose that's why he's so cheap. Works cash in hand. Apparently, in his country, Schwarm means happy procession of proud cheesemakers and beaver ticklers.
Mr. Cameron, swarm aside, the facts are that Germany has agreed to take hundreds of thousands of migrants.
And likewise, we've agreed to take Angela Merkel to one side and say, "Woman, have you lost your mind?"
But the plight of these migrants is heartrending.
Yeah. Oh, all right. I'll make a statement. Right, here it is. I am deeply saddened by the news of, insert name of tragic event here.
Mr. Cameron, you just read the exact statement you used for the IS beheadings, both Malaysian Airways disasters and Cilla Black.
In that case, our deepest sympathies...
President Obama's used that one.
Our thoughts and prayers are with the families back home.
The Pope.
Our hearts go out to everyone affected.
Catelyn Moran just tweeted that one and already got 12,000 retweets. This is an emergency that requires real leadership.
Really? Oh, phew. Well, you see, I leave all that whole real leadership thing to Juanita. She's incredible. I mean, she also takes the kids to school and makes a paella that's to die for.
Now on ITV2, you've seen Ibiza uncovered, you've seen Cavos uncovered, and Magaluf uncovered. It's time for the all-new reality series about Brits having it large. It's Radio 4 Uncovered.
It's 9 p.m. on the fourth floor of Broadcasting House, and Kathy Cluxton and Corey Caulfield are drinking one of Radio 4's famous fishbowl cocktails.
I tell you what, cluggers, here is the news at 9 o'clock. I'm off my freaking face.
It's like my T-shirt says, good girls go to heaven, bad girls go to Radio 4.
Oh, my God. Kathy, over there, he's definitely looking at you.
Notorious ladies' man Paul Lewis from Moneybox has arrived.
All right, girls. Do you fancy coming with me to the foam party? They've filled the book at bedtime office with foam and lasers. It's going to be off the chain. Happy days. It's all good.
And things are already getting decidedly flirty.
Maybe I'll see you there later, Paul.
You're such a tease, cluggers.
Well, don't take too long to decide. Just remember that your investments can go down as well as up. If you know what I mean.
Down the corridor, a queue of expectant groupies is forming at a notorious Radio 4 hangout.
Yeah, we're here for the Great Lives after party.
Yeah. It's going to be totally insane tonight. Melvin Bragg was discussing the life of Thomas Abeke.
Oh, my God, it's Matthew Paris!
Right, who's ready to get absolutely chuffing munted? Make some noise.
Over at the phone party, and revelers like you and yours' Winifred Robinson are getting into the swing of things.
I'm going to have it large tonight. I've got a deal with the wristband that gets me 50 pence off entry, which means more money for hippie crack.
It's the morning after the night before, and on the roof of Broadcasting House, Winifred and Sue McGregor are on sun loungers, working on a tan and reflecting on last night's antics.
I'm so hungover, it was absolute carnage. I crashed the Great Lives party and me and Braggy got tattoos. Look, I've got Chinese symbols saying consumer rights forever. What am I like?
And Sue's got some regrets of her own.
I just don't know what happened. One minute I was preparing some programme notes, the next I was drinking shots out of Nigel Rees's belly button.
Next time on Radio 4 Uncovered, Robert Peston gets his hair braided. Rory Catlin-Jones has one too many Jaeger bombs. And Front Row is temporarily shut down after a nasty outbreak of chlamydia.
BBC Radio 4. And now in our stupidly short programme season, Gardener's Question Time.
Let's get on with it. Question from our audience.
My plant won't grow.
Bonnie Guinness.
Water it more.
Bob Flowerdew.
Water it more.
A third panellist who sounds like something out of Dickens. Arabella Bumbleflaps.
Yes, water it more.
Happy with that?
Well, actually...
Very good, great. Goodbye.
You're watching Channel 5. Later this evening, Celebrity Big Brother is back. James Hill, Farrah Abraham and Teela. It's a regular Who's That of showbiz. But first, we've another Freak Show documentary.
Imagine not being able to remember what you said just a minute ago.
Could you work with Jeremy Corbyn as leader?
No, his loony left policies would keep Labour out of power for a generation.
So that's a no under any circumstances?
Of course I could work with Jeremy Corbyn. He has invigorated this campaign.
That's the life that Andy Burnham has to endure. Saying one thing and then immediately saying the complete opposite. Burnham is completely desperate.
It's ruined my life.
Really?
No, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. Ever.
Andy is being treated by a brain specialist, Professor Geraldine Fowler.
It really was the most perplexing mystery as to why Andy Burnham would totally contradict himself from one sentence to the next. We tried to run scans on his brain, but the x-rays just bounced off his plastic hair.
Then Professor Fowler had an idea. She turned the x-ray machine away from Andy's head and onto his body.
We found that Andy was born without a backbone.
For Andy, it was an incredible moment.
It suddenly became clear why I was a Blairite, free-marketing Trotskyite with a zeal for privatising hospitals, who also wanted to renationalise the railways and close down Eton. I'd say anything I thought was popular at the time.
Unfortunately, long hours in the Commons meant that Burnham had contracted Cameron's disease. Professor Fowler arranged a meeting for the two men.
I am hopeful that by interacting with a fellow sufferer, it may put them both on the road to recovery.
Hi, hi. It really is delightful to meet you, Andy. I've long respected you as a deeply principled politician.
And I've always admired you for your statesmanlike leadership.
Pinko lefty.
Capitalist scum.
But probably not.
You loved the best exotic Marigold Hotel. You sort of liked the second best Marigold Hotel. Now it's time to check in again with Judy Dench, Bill Nighy, Penelope Wilton and Maggie Smith.
Do you know, I called down three times about my room. Stunning views of the harbour, the brochure said. No mention of the bloody great building site directly opposite.
Did you get any little shampoo bottles in your bathroom?
No.
Neither did I. I had to wash my hair with moisturiser.
I found a pube in the shower. I know it sounds lovely when I say it, but it really isn't.
You think that's bad? I found mushrooms growing on the back of the bathroom door.
Welcome to the ninth best exotic Marigold Hotel.
3 a.m. Oh, bloody hell. That record has been going on for the best part of 2 hours now.
Look on the bright side. At least the noise might scare the cockroaches out of the dining room.
How am I supposed to seduce a woman half my age when my room smells of cabbage and death?
Precisely. And how am I supposed to be wonderfully old and equip a minute in the morning when I can't get a wink of sleep?
Oh, look, someone's coming.
That's Morgan Freeman. You know, the token American star, cast so they can sell this feel-good guff stateside.
Salutations, fellow elderly. But still sexually rampant hotel guests. Anyone know which one of you I have to fall in love with?
Well, it's not me. Sorry, I got Richard Gere.
Pass, I'm saving myself for Dustin Hoffman. We're bound to get to him eventually.
But then who am I romancing in a tender and bittersweet way which tugs at the heartstrings?
Well, I'm game if you are.
Hello and welcome to This Week. Sorry, ladies, I'm taken. Now here on my sofa, I've got Michael Portillo and Diane Abbott.
Hello, Andrew.
Andrew? I think you had a disparaging, faintly mocking inflection in your voice just there when you said my name.
I don't know what you mean, Diane. All I said was, now here on my sofa, I've got Michael Portillo and Diane Abbott.
No, there it was again, Andrew. A faint question mark next to my name as if to say Diane Abbott is not a real person. But a faint echo of a bygone era. An inflection that says Diane Abbott is the political equivalent of a mad woman with 72 cats and her own seat in the public library.
And your point is?
There's only 68 cats, actually, and I perch on the radiator by non-fiction. And can I just say that I and the people of Hackney are affronted by your inflection, because that is no longer true. Things are different now, Andrew, and there will be repercussions.
Repercussions?
He will come and give you what for. He will tell you that I am not the dinosaur. You are the dinosaur now.
He? I suppose you mean Jeremy Corbyn?
He's so dreamy. He has a lovely white beard. He wears nice hats and he twinkles when he smiles.
Well, Diane, just for you, joining us on the screen is surprise guest Jeremy Corbyn.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, my God! I'm going to swoon here in the flesh. There is his little white beard, his little sailor hat, his little grey vest, his cagoule, his... Wait a minute. Jeremy... Cagoule? How dare you, Jeremy? Where is your donkey jacket? You have betrayed us all with that Tory cagoule. Oh, Jeremy, 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 you are dead to me. I'm going to run off and sob into my pillow.
Oh, Diane, don't go. Come back.
Leave her, Andrew. She'll get over it. We all do. I cried myself to sleep when Heath blanked me at the pick and mix in Woolworths in Croydon in 1992.
BBC Radio 4, next in our stupidly short programme season, Tweet of the Day.
It's a pigeon.
And now on Radio 4, just to complete that feeling of Sunday night doom, it's Poetry Please.
Welcome, listeners. I'll be speaking in this soft, whispery voice for the next half hour. Like some strange scouse ghost that wants you to shop at Waitrose. Now, I've had a question from a Caroline Sanderson. Caroline writes, I'm a BBC radio producer, and I want to feature poetry, but I'm worried. It'll seem elitist. What can I do? Well, Caroline, you've got nothing to worry about, because these days all poets on BBC Radio are exaggeratedly northern. Here's a poem by Ian McMillan to explain.
How do? I'm Ian McMillan. Poet and giant meat pie. Here's my poem called Northern Poets. Northern Poets, Northern Poets, we're so very cosily twee. Northern Poets, Northern Poets, I'm so northern, I say poetry, not poetry. Northern Poets, Northern Poets, we're allowed to do high art. Northern Poets, Northern Poets, as long as we spend most of it talking about eating a balm cake up Cleethorpe Tops with ex-miners and a dog in a mop cap called Sal.
Thank you, Ian. Maybe one day you'll be top Northern radio poet like me.
So I haven't finished. There's another stanza, or as we call them in the North, bastard. Northern Poets, Northern Poets, there's none more Northern than me. Northern Poets, Northern Poets, compared to me, Roger McGough is a soft Southern pansy.
Right, I'd just like to remind listeners that I'm so real and northern that one time I slept in a bin round the back of Greg's with only a black pudding for company.
Not so fast, Tosser.
Oh, I've been joined by my nemesis, John Cooper Clarke.
I'm here to take my crown back, McGough.
Yes, I'm the governor, top northern poet. I'm so Salford, I sound like I'm in physical pain.
Hello, John West.
John West, you like make the fish and the tuna and the fish and tins, is that right?
Yes, we do.
Oh, respect. I'm down with that. That's cool.
What can we do for you, sir?
Well, I'm sorry, I did not introduce myself. My name is Kanye West, and I just saw John West, and I just wondered that maybe to give me my proper respect and recognition, you know, maybe it's time that you change the name of John West to Kanye West.
I don't think so, sir, unfortunately.
But it would fit on the tin. I can just see that there. And I could, like, sing all about the John West fish. Because you could even use that as your advert jingle. You could use that.
We do what we already do advertising, sir, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but I'm the greatest rock and roll star in the world. I could kick whatever ass of the advert the one is already there.
I'm sure you could, sir. I'm sure you could. So what actually can we do for you, sir?
John West is now Kanye West. And we do tuna.
Yeah, in your dreams.
Hey, come on, this is not funny, man. This is not funny, babe, you know? Maybe the tin of fish, once it's renamed to Kanye West, we could, like, spark a whole new genre of fish rap. So listen, like, yeah, come on, give Kanye the proper respect, you know? Well, I'm going to phone Prince's or Shippum's potted meat or something.
Be my guest. You have a good day.
Yeah, okay, whatever. I'm now going to phone the parliamentary constituency of Bournemouth West. See if they're going to change their name too.
Hello. Thank you all for joining me to discuss my England squad for the upcoming game against San Marino. People have called this game pointless, but you don't know what pointless is until you've tried to explain to Wayne Rooney that San Marino isn't a brand of fizzy water. The squad I've selected has been criticised for its underwhelming nature. We've picked Tom Heaton, who plays in the second tier for Burnley, and Jamie Vardy, who was recently playing part-time in the non-leagues. But there is a clear strategy there. For too long, our team has been burdened by false hope, and I plan to fix that. Not by making the team better, but by eliminating all hope entirely. And this is just the beginning. By 2016, I'll be picking the worst England squads you could ever imagine. I'm going to call up the entire squad of East Macclesfield under-9s. I'll promote the worst players from the Isle of Wight's constantly drunk geriatrics league. Screw it! I'm even going to play myself up front. I've got a real predatory instinct. Not because I'm good at football, but because I'm half-owl. That's right. I don't even need to pick humans in my squad. I'll pick logs and soil and this rhyming dictionary. I'll pick pillows, armadillos, the wind in the willows, balloons, bassoons and Siegfried Sassoons. I've finally cracked it. I'm going to pick an absolutely useless team of untalented nobodies so dismally pathetic that they're totally incapable of ever winning anything whatsoever. I mean, why break a fine English tradition?
BBC Radio 4. And now, in our stupidly short programme season, the shipping forecast.
Good.
Free with this week's Radio Times, a special offer for listeners to Saturday Live. If you love Radio 4's Saturday morning magazine show, but wish it could somehow be even more entertaining, why not try the Reverend Richard Cole's drinking game? It's so easy to play. Every time the chocolate-voiced clergyman makes a twee remark...
Now, for our next guest, when it comes to trees, life's a beach.
Drink! You drink a finger of whiskey. And every time he makes a wry aside about being a vicar...
Now, of course, we're all hoping for some better weather this weekend.
Well, don't worry, I've had a word with the man upstairs.
Drink! It's a finger of vodka. And don't forget to listen out for all the great Richard Cole's classics.
I have a case of the sniffles today, listeners, but I'm suitably medicated. In fact, I haven't taken this many drugs since I was in the communards.
Drink! Yes, the fun never stops with the Reverend Richard Cole's drinking game. And if you're worried you're going to be blind drunk within minutes, well, you are listening to Saturday Live. It's probably for the best. You join us now for Sky Sports Transfer Deadline Day, Christmas for fax machines, where the presenter is either an old saggy man or a female supermodel, and we all act like that's okay. Stay tuned for absolutely nothing happening. But don't worry, that won't stop us from trying to build in drama wherever we go. We go over to Kirsty now, as it sounds like she's got some exciting news.
A Sky Sports exclusive, Jim. Someone thought about moving clubs, but then didn't. It's all kicking off.
Wow, you heard it here first. Now, let's go over to a roving reporter standing in front of a horde of gormless football fans like a rejected scene from Dawn of the Dead.
No news here, Jim. Despite not looking like signing anyone, the Stoke fans are still all stood behind me, waving about sex dolls and shouting swear words on live TV as expected. Back to Jim.
Over to Millie.
Over to Adam.
Over to Kate.
Over to Mike.
Back to Jim.
Right, that killed 30 seconds. Oh, my word, it sounds like something's happened. Millie, has anything happened?
Something almost happened, Jim, but the clubs didn't do the paperwork, so no, as usual, nothing happened. Back to Adam.
Back to Kate.
Back to Jim.
Thrilling stuff. Now, time for an obscenely long advert break, but stay tuned, because when we come back, we'll continue cutting manically between topics as if Quentin Tarantino's directing this whole mess. Don't blink, you'll miss nothing.
BBC Radio 4 are next in our stupidly short programme season. All your Christmases have come at once. It's The Archers. You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Lewis MacLeod, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. It was written by Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Harth, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, Duncan Wisby and Charlotte Pearson. The producer and creator was Bill Dare, and it was a BBC Radio comedy production.